Log Talk Radio. Log Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, and talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from The Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a success coach, spokeswoman, and fundraiser with Successimo.com, a free social networking, informational, and inspirational website. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and a winologist expert. She is your host today on January Jones, sharing Successimo stories. So sit back and relax and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones and her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn while you earn. These stories plus sharing equal Successimo.com. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you're entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you, have you ever had problems understanding teenagers? We all have. Are you wondering how you can be a superstar? Or are you afraid to win in the game of life? Can you imagine being a miracle? Would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you've been looking for? Are you ready to learn while you earn? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successful Stories. Today I will be introducing you to two guests who are success coaches extraordinaire. They have provided us with inspirational and informative lessons. Before I introduce our guests, I'd love to invite you to call in. The number is 818-431-8506 with any questions that you may have during the interview. Now let me tell you a little bit about my first guest. He grew up as a student athlete. However, he admits that he was more of an athlete than a student. I can relate to that. Today, he has successfully completed 12 years of college and earned 7 degrees. Yes, you heard me right, 7 degrees. He is an educator, author, speaker, and coach. He teaches in Connecticut's largest inner-city high school. He has written articles for the United States' oldest newspaper, the Hartford Courant. In addition, our guest has written and traditionally published his teen leadership book, Feeling Lucky. Finally, he is a teacher consultant for the National Writing Program. I am pleased to introduce and welcome Daniel Blanchard to our show today. Hello, Daniel. How are you doing?
Wonderful, January. Thank you for all those wonderful accolades.
Oh, I'm so happy. I've interviewed you before, and you are one of my ideas when it comes to teachers. I've read all of your reviews that your students have written, and they just adore you. Would you share with us a little bit about your family background and where you grew up?
Okay, sure. I was born January in Hartford, Connecticut, which is the capital of Connecticut. Down the north end, if anybody knows anything about the north end of Hartford, it's a really rough neighborhood, rough area. I was born into a large family. There were 7 of us. And I remember, you know, we always had to, like, fight for what we wanted and, you know, competing with all those numbers and living in that kind of neighborhood. And I remember thinking that when I grow up, I'm probably not going to have a large family. I think I might have a smaller family, like more peaceful and more tranquil and all that stuff. And then I met a woman that wanted a large family. No. She wanted a large family. I wanted a small family. Guess who won? She did, of course. So we just had our 5th kid. So now we've got a decade of babies. Go figure, right? A decade of babies. Little Sienna just turned 6 weeks old. So I figure I probably got about, I haven't had much sleep in the last decade with a decade of babies. And I probably got about maybe 2 more years of diapers. And then I'm thinking maybe my Dirty Dozen will be over in about 2 more years. So it's crazy. It's definitely crazy. But, I don't think I would have it any other way.
Oh, it sounds like you're having a great time, even if you're tired all the time. You know, I know that you write and counsel teenagers, but I'm wondering if now with the experience of all these small children, you'll eventually go into writing about raising young children eventually.
Oh, that's a possibility. I mean, the writing, which I never thought I could do, it surprised me. I still, when people call me in the office, I still look around and see what they're talking about. But writing has opened up a whole new world for me. And it's a very positive and exciting world. And, right now I'm working on my trilogy.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm working on my trilogy. I'm just finishing my second book right now. And, I'm even thinking right now a fourth book on all this teen leadership. And then we'll see where it goes from there. I mean, it could go, it could go to, raising kids and, parenting tips. Or who knows, maybe it will jump into, the college world or the adult world. Mm-hmm. I don't really know which way it's going to go, but it's, I think I remember reading a quote one time that said something like, I don't really know what I think about anything until I write about it. And there's definitely a lot of insight to that. And, for all these people out there that, kind of felt like I did at one time, I'm not good at writing, I don't like writing, writing's just not me. Listen, I had all those feelings and thoughts and, I felt inadequate in that department. And now that I've, mustered through it, it really has opened a lot of doors for me, and I really do encourage people.
Well, I know your book, Feeling Lucky, when you wrote that, how long did it take you to write it? And did you have any particular person who was a mentor for you with your writing career?
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up, January. I mean, it's a great story on how this happened. Over the years, I've been having my students tell me that I should write a book. They're always saying that you inspire me, the best teacher I've ever had. I think you should write a book. And on one of those particular days, my student told me that I should write a book. I was driving home, and a friend of mine, Dave Trainer, who lives in Florida, he called me and said, "Dan, I'm going to write a book." And I'm like, "Oh, great. That's awesome. I definitely think you should." I mean, he's definitely the type of guy, when someone thinks of someone writing books and being successful, you would think of a guy like my buddy Dave. So I said, "Yeah, you definitely should." And I said, "It's kind of funny you brought that up, because, my students have been telling me that, and they just even told me today that I should write the book." And Dave was like, "Dan, you should." And I'm like, "Really, you think so?" And he's like, "Yeah, you should." So I'm like, okay. And that was like the spark. And the next morning, I woke up at 4. I set the alarm clock and woke up at 4 in the morning. And started writing.
Right.
And then I did that for the next 365 days, every single morning, Saturdays, Sundays, all the way through, 4 in the morning, and just wrote.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Next thing I know, a year had come and gone, and I'm looking, and there's a book right in my hands, and I'm going, wow, this is, good. I can't believe it. This is good. So, when it came to mentoring, I think my friend Dave and my students really inspired me and maybe didn't mentor me in the traditional role, but, just their inspiration that I should do it and their encouragement, kind of got me going on it and kind of got me through it. And, a year later, there's a book. It's amazing.
Now let me ask you, how did you come up with the title Feeling Lucky? It's a fantastic title. I just wonder where it came from.
That's fabulous, Jane. Sometimes I'm not even sure where it came from. But this is what, over the years, I've been watching a lot of students not living up to their full potential. And I've seen, lots of kids, they just don't want to do the work. If I didn't do the work that year of writing the book at 4 in the morning, then the book wouldn't exist. And for some reason, I'm seeing a lot of youth today They just don't want to do the work. You know, maybe our generation's made it too easy for them. You know, I'm not sure, but maybe. They just don't want to do the work. And then when they see someone who does succeed, you know, maybe somebody who's doing the work, and, you know, they may or may not see the people doing the work. In most cases, they don't see the person doing the work. But when they see someone succeed, they go, oh, he's so lucky or she's so lucky. You know, why do they always win? Why do they always get the good stuff? Why are they so lucky? And then they sit back and say, yeah, you know, well, someday I'm going to get, like, a record contract, or I'm going to be lucky. I'm going to, you know, play pro basketball. I'm going to be lucky. I'm going to start my own, you know, my own music band, or I'm going to be on TV. I'm going to be lucky, too. And it's just like, whoa, hold on. So you guys got it all wrong. Your paradigm for luck is all wrong. You know, it's like they're like waiting for some long lost relative in California that they don't know and don't have, you know, to pass away and leave them millions, or, you know, somebody to come up and lay a music contract in the lap. You know, it's like they're waiting for Santa Claus to come and drop something off. And that's when I came up with the title for the book, Feeling Lucky. I'm like, you know, I think that it's very important that the adult population try to change our youth's perception and our youth's paradigm of luck. They have the wrong paradigm for luck. You know, somebody's going to come and give them something. That's not luck. You know, being lucky is when hard work, you know, and preparation meet opportunity. That's when you're lucky. So that was my goal of this book and of the title of the book, Feeling Lucky, is that I want to change the paradigm that the youth have today of what luck is. You know, Santa Claus ain't going to come drop it off. You have to create your own luck.
Yeah, you have to make your luck. And you have to work hard to be lucky, don't you?
Oh, you have to work extremely hard. I mean, I laugh all the time when, you know, some new musician or some new basketball player comes on the scene, and everybody all of a sudden thinks, you know, they were home sitting on their couch eating bonbons, and one day said, I think I'm going to play pro basketball or release an album. You know, and they say, you know, these are overnight successes. There's no such thing. That's overnight success. These people worked for, like, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years to get where they're at. They put the work in, or they would have never been as prepared as they were when opportunity knocked. So they created their own luck, and yes, they are lucky, you know, but not according to the youth's definition of luck. They're lucky according to the paradigm that I'm trying to create.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah. You know, I am so thrilled to have you as a success coach with us at Successimo. And when we come back from our commercial, I want to talk with you a little bit about some of the learning activities that you've posted at our website. You've written five fantastic articles. And also, I want to, when we come back, tell everyone where your website is and how they'll be able to get your books. We'll be right back with Daniel Blanchard.
When you think that something is too good to be true, could you ever be wrong? The answer is yes, yes, yes when it comes to Successimo.com, because you will earn while you learn, and it will be free, free, free. Successimo.com is a social networking site that will change the way you learn and earn money while you work on your computer at home. This free website provides continuous learning opportunities while rewarding you for taking lessons and inviting others to join with you, receiving inspirational information. You'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. Just what does free mean to users at Successimo.com? It means that there are no fees, no donations, no pledges. You will never need cash, checks, or credit cards. All revenues are generated from advertisers at the website, just like Facebook and Twitter. This too-good-to-be-true social networking site is the newest paradigm on the Internet for home-based business and nonprofit organizations. Do you hate asking people for money? We all do. And the good news is that Successimo is a fundraiser for nonprofits that does not require money. It just requires small amounts of your time or your organization's time to raise funds. When you do lesson activities, you'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. When you think of Successimo.com, you need to think learn while you earn, and always remember that passion plus purpose equals prosperity. Successimo.com is not only too good to be true, it is unbelievably innovative, and there are no downsides since no money is ever required. Successimo.com is the right website for now because it is the first one ever to pay people to participate. No one else does this. So sign up now and stop whining, start winning, and start being Successimo. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back with January Jones, sharing Successimo stories with my guest, Daniel Blanchard, the author of Feeling Lucky. Daniel, could you share with our listeners the website where people can get your book?
Oh, thank you, January. Okay, the old website was actually feelinglucky.org, but it's being rebuilt and the name is being changed.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad you brought that up. And I have a person working on it right now, hopefully in the next couple of days. Hopefully it should be all set. But the new website is going to be called Granddaddy's Secrets.
Oh.
So you're going to be able to find that at www.granddaddysecrets.com. And the reason why I decided to change the name is because going through the three books that I'm trying to write, Feeling Lucky is basically the 10th grade story of a teen that's struggling, you know, 16 years old, 10th grade, struggling. And then the sequel is going to be the 11th grade story of the same teen. And then the sequel to that, the third book, will be, you know, the 12th grade story. And I was thinking that that's where it was going to end. Mm-hmm. But as I was going through this and looking up the website of, you know, Feeling Lucky, and it just wasn't quite sitting right with me. And I'm like, you know, there's something else going on here. And through these three books, it started coming to me that the constant theme through these three books, and I'm almost done writing the second one now, the constant theme running through these three books is Granddaddy's Secrets. So then I figured, you know what, I'm going to write a fourth book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be explaining Granddaddy's Secrets, where I take his original 100 secrets and I elaborate on it in, like, let's say maybe like a 2-page article, success article, leadership article.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it for all 100 secrets. Now, I've already started doing that. And, I've already had a few published over there at Your Place Success Mode.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's why I'm changing the name. So
okay.
It should hopefully be up in the next few days, and it's going to be changed to Granddaddy's Secrets. And now the three-book series has gone to a fourth book, and I will continue to pump out these success articles and leadership articles for all of our people here at Successimo. I've had a great time writing. Actually, I've written 11 of them now. I've had a great time writing these. I've taken a little bit of a break over the summer just because the summer's been crazy with the new baby and we're moving a couple towns over and all that stuff. But in the fall, I plan on getting right back on it. I know you wanted me to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say we look forward to all of your articles, and you sound so excited to be a success coach with us. When I look at your list of articles now, one that I particularly loved reading was The Park is a Great Place to Learn. Could you tell us what inspired you to write that article?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm not exactly the traditional teacher. You know, I try things different.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've noticed is that many times, school, at least, you know, the paradigm of school, has been kind of constructed to be, you know, sitting in neat rows in front of a teacher within the four walls of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking that, you know, we need more than that. We need to educate the whole child and give the child, you know, more experience and more knowledge than just, say, a textbook sitting in front of them. So, and I started thinking, you know, and why should learning be limited to, you know, that 45-minute period in math or that 45-minute period in English or history or science? I'm like, why can't, like, every single waking moment of their life be part of a learning moment, you know, a teachable moment? So, and that just kind of naturally led me to the park. I mean, the park is a place that you could go that would be like, you know, fun, hang out. Didn't seem like, you know, maybe the opposite of what kids think about school.
Right.
You know, maybe they skip school to go to the park. But, Yeah, I just, but I'm like, well, why not? Why can't we learn in the park? You know, and there's many, many ways to learn in the park. You know, you could be people watching, you could be sitting down talking to people, you could be reading a book in the park. You know, there's just so many ways to learn, and that I don't think that kids are taking advantage of today. And I don't think they're valuing the true value of constantly learning. So I thought the park would be a great place to learn. And another thing that it does do, it kind of hits on, you know, like the simple things in life are kind of the best things in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to go out and have a Ferrari or any of those things that you see on TV. A simple stroll in the park, you know, a simple sit on the bench or, you know, looking at the flight of a bird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are all wonderful, beautiful things, relaxing things that could all be tied with learning.
Oh, yeah. You know, I particularly like that article because we live in a small town. And every Saturday night, they have a concert in the park here at the town. And everyone packs picnics, and everyone goes and sits on the grass and listens to the music. And after I read your article, I couldn't help but sit back and look at everything going on in the park. And you can't imagine the things that people were learning and what the kids were learning, seeing all of these people interacting with each other. It was fantastic.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about that, Jenny, was that, you know, the kids and even the adults, you
mm-hmm.
know, they're learning things without really realizing that they're learning things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chore, I guess, isn't there. You know, you're having fun, you're enjoying yourself, you're
right.
enjoying your company, and you're learning things without even realizing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think if we can make learning more fun,
mm-hmm.
Then the kids are going to want to learn.
Right. And you wrote another article. It's called Planning Ahead Makes One a Superstar. And that's a fantastic article. Could you tell us how that came about?
Yes, Jenny, I love that article, too. You know, people actually ask me about that one quite frequently, to tell you the truth. And, you know, that one comes down to just a simple little sports story. And myself, you know, being a former sports star, just loves it. But, you know, this interviewer one time interviewed Wayne Gretzky.
Oh,
and he was
okay.
just like, listen. He was like, you know, Wayne Gretzky, you play among these professional hockey players. You know, they're all really, really, really good. And of course they are. They wouldn't be here playing in the Professional Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but somehow, you know, you, Wayne Gretzky, you stand out even among these stars. You stand out. I mean, how do you do that? And Wayne Gretzky just said something so simple. He said, I skate to where the puck is going, not where the puck is.
Okay.
You know, oh, it's so powerful
mm-hmm.
to be skating to where the puck is going. You know what I'm saying? So he's always playing him. That's what's made him a superstar among superstars.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing. And I believe, I think in that article, I also come over and I talk a little bit about the canoe. And, you know, and it's just like if you're not planning ahead, you know, if you're being intellectually or mentally lazy and just
mm-hmm.
kind of letting things happen to you rather than you taking charge of your life and, you know, creating your own luck, you know, if you're doing these things, you know, one day you're going to wake up and find out that, you know, the world is taking you in a direction that you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe I threw in a story. It's kind of like the canoeist that kind of wakes up and looks around and says, whoa, I'm heading right toward the Niagara Falls. You know, he definitely failed to plan ahead. So planning ahead, you know, is definitely something we all can do and something I think that we all want to do so we can avoid the pitfalls or the Niagara Falls
mm-hmm.
of, you know, of life that life just tends to hand to us when we just let it take us any which way we want to go. So, again, it kind of all circles right back to the title of the book, Feeling Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you got to create your own luck. You know, you got to be planning ahead and creating your own luck.
Now,
yeah, I agree. That's a great article.
Yeah, and I loved it. And when you're working with teenagers, I know from what I've observed raising four of them myself, the self-esteem is always such an issue, and it's so difficult for them to feel positive about themselves. And you wrote an article, Remember the Miracle That You Truly Are. And I think that article addresses the self-esteem issue, and I think it's particularly relevant for teenagers, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you, Jan. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems I come across,
mm-hmm.
is that today's youth has so little confidence in their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and every now and then you run across a kid that's running his or her mouth, acting like the big hot shot, you know, acting like they got it all going on, they know everything. And the bottom line is, that's all an act. That's
mm-hmm.
all an act to cover up their insecurities because they're afraid. You know, they have so little faith in their abilities. And, you know, the self-esteem is huge. And one of the reasons, you know, there's many reasons why the kids get this way.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I always try to do is to bring up that self-esteem and to, you know, remind them about the miracle that they truly are. Because, you know, in essence, I mean, all of us are miracles, and all of us tend to forget that we're miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't remember that we're miracles, then we're not going to act and live the way we should be acting and living. We're going to act and live below what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's horrible. It's horrible to live like that. Yeah,
now,
so that's definitely very powerful.
Right. Now, when you look back at your life and all the success that you've achieved, and when you look back at it, can you think of some of the unexpected events that came along, things that you didn't expect out of the blue, and these are the things that contributed to your success? Could you tell us about some of the events that were surprise?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I can definitely once pops right up, and it's, again, I'm going back to sports.
Mm-hmm.
Again, sports was huge to me as a kid.
Sure.
You know, I was a sophomore in high school, and I was, you know, on varsity and all that. Of course, the kids were more experienced and all that things. And after the season, there was this postseason tournament where the best kids in the state were going to go to this tournament, and they were going to wrestle in this tournament, and, you know, the best kids were going to qualify for the national team, for the Junior Olympics. And I remember saying to a few of my buddies, hey, you want to go check this out? You want to go wrestle in this tournament? And every one of them said, why? I mean, why would we go to that just to get beat up? You know, and I tried to recruit kids because I got to admit, I was a little bit nervous, especially
mm-hmm.
to go alone.
Right.
You know, I tried to recruit anybody I could recruit to go to this tournament, and every single kid said the same thing. Why would I go and put myself through a beating like that?
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, I said, you know what? I'm going to go there, and if I get beat up, fine. That's fine with me. If I get beat up really bad, that's also fine with me. I'm going to go there and get my butt kicked, but I'm going to get tougher, and I'm going to learn a few things. So what I was doing was I was taking a chance. I was facing my fear, you know, and fighting my way through it because I was nervous. I was scared, but I knew in the end that I would learn things from it, even if I couldn't comprehend them at that moment, you know, down the road. Somehow it would pay dividends down the road. And I remember going to this, and it was really weird, Jenny. It was like all of a sudden the fear was gone. It was sort of like I had nothing to lose. And I went out there and won my first match, and then my second, and then my third. And then I started getting against some really good kids, you know, like the returning junior Olympians and all that. And then I was going out there and just beating those kids. And everybody was coming up to me saying, where'd you come from? You know, like they thought I just moved into the state of Connecticut from maybe like a powerhouse state like Pennsylvania or something like that. And I was just like, I've been here all along. You know? I just decided that, what the heck, why lose anymore? Oh, I mean,
it was really
almost taking the risk.
Yeah, that was your personal aha moment, wasn't it?
Oh, it sure was. And from that moment, things snowballed from that moment because all of a sudden, there I was, you know, a sophomore in high school, 10th grade, and I was wrestling up there with the best seniors in the state and beating them. And I was wondering where the heck it came from. And one of the things that I realized is that it was inside of me all along. And I just never knew how to bring it out. And so somehow that day, when I just didn't care anymore, I don't care if I get beat up. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to do this. I got nothing to lose.
Right.
And that made a world of difference that just dominoed into all sorts of future successes from there. And another thing on that, just real quick, January, I remember, like, my freshman year and sophomore year in high school thinking, boy, I wish I could go somewhere to get really good. I wish I could, like, take off to, like, Russia maybe for a year to get really good at wrestling. And that was, like, during, the end of the Cold War and the American and Russian rivalries in wrestling on the world level. And I was like, I wish I could maybe go to Russia for, like, a year to get really good. And it turned out I didn't need to go anywhere to get really good. I just had to look inside of myself.
Right.
And that made a huge difference in my life. To start looking inside of myself and start depending on myself and start creating my own luck.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, that's
that was definitely a powerful moment.
Oh, that's a wonderful. And Daniel, I want to thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners today. And I look forward to having you back as a guest with us. And for our listeners, we'll be right back with our next guest. And stay tuned.
Thank you, January.
You're welcome.
Lately, there has been a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about, why they whine, and most importantly, how to stop them from whining. The 11th Commandment deals with all of the complaints and causes, and there are over 100 plus cures for whining with humor and hope in this edition. This is the perfect gift to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. It'll make you laugh at yourself and others. John Curtis, a distinguished author, reminds us that it is the perfect gift for anyone who wants to be healthy and happy with humor, honey, and hope, and for people who are just hopeless. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com and at the Successimo.com Coaches Bookstore. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. As Sally Shields, best-selling author, states, January Jones gets to the core of the matter with her quick-witted tips and cures that cut to the chase and will put any seasoned whiner to shame. So get reading and stop whining and start winning with Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment.
Welcome back to January Jones sharing Successimo stories. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. Now let me ask you, have you ever wondered how to get your motivational mojo moving? Do you know why clutter is keeping you from having a home sweet home? Let me ask you, are you ready to banish procrastination once and for all from your life? Have you ever wanted to dump distractions and get things done? Would you like to learn how to feel good again? Can you imagine earning money while you are learning valuable, inspirational information? Are you ready to meet someone who can help you make big changes in small steps? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then I'd like to welcome you to the second half of our show. I'd like to tell you a little bit about our next guest. Perhaps better known to millions as the Mayflower Madam, she found herself moonlighting as a phone girl at an escort service to supplement her unemployment check after having been fired for refusing to participate in a kickback scheme. It may have been the world's oldest profession, but it certainly was not being run very professionally. And less than a year later, she decided to open up her own agency. Relatively small, but very upscale, Cachet prospered for 5.5 years until New York's finest closed it down, only to later publicly concede that it was the most honest and professionally run business of its kind to ever operate in New York City. Her first book, Mayflower Madam, went right to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Fortune magazine named it one of the 10 best business books of the year. And business schools across the country, including Harvard, used it in their curriculum. Her fourth book, Uncensored Sales Strategies, with the legendary Dan Kennedy, was published in January 2009. Our guest is a recognized authority on the customer experience. She consults with entrepreneurs, business people, and professionals, practices to identify and analyze the experience their customers are currently encountering with them, their staff, and their business in general. She then puts together an experience renovation plan and works with her clients to execute it. Our success coach has had an extensive speaking career and presents to a wide range of business groups as well as guest lecturing at colleges and universities across the country. The secrets to creating a unique and compelling customer experience. In addition, she writes articles on the customer experience, puts out a newsletter called The Experience Factor, and contributes to Entrepreneur.com. And also, along with her coaching and consulting business, she does roadblock removal work, eradicating those roadblocks that sabotage people with the best intentions from organizing and using their time productively, from accomplishing the things they generally want to do that are holding them back from being the kind of person they truly want to be. Our guest lives in New York City on the Upper West Side and has no pets, no plants, no children, and no regrets. And I'm very pleased to welcome Sydney Biddle-Barrows to our show. Hi, Sydney. How are you doing?
Hi, January. How are you?
I'm great. I've so been looking forward to having you on the show and interviewing. I just finished reading your books, and they're fabulous. I couldn't put them down, and now my husband is reading them, and he can't put them down either.
Well, that's so nice to hear.
Yes, they're wonderful. Now, I guess the first question you always hear is, how did a nice girl like you get into that business?
Well, you pretty much told the story in the intro.
Right.
I'm not sure quite sure how much more I could really add to that.
Okay. Well, right from you took something that turned to, you actually took lemons that, and you made it into wonderful lemonade with what you've done with your career. And I've looked over your one sheet and all your fantastic story ideas. And the one that I loved the most was Banish Procrastination Once and for All. And is that one of the secrets to your success?
I'd like to say yes to that. when you're self-employed, you really do have to develop a very strong sense of discipline, because mm-hmm. there's nobody around looking over your shoulder and saying, "Oh, did you finish this yet? You know, when are you going to get that done?" Mm-hmm. And so if you are a procrastinator, you're not going to be self-employed for very long, because you're not going to get done what you need to get done.
Mm-hmm. So procrastination would be one of the major roadblocks that you're encouraging people to remove from their life.
Well, it all depends on whether or not procrastination you feel the procrastination is a problem for you. Roadblock removal is really all about removing those invisible roadblocks that you know, keep you from doing what you want to do and being who you want to be. But it's a bit different. You know, some people don't have a problem with procrastination, so that's not a roadblock that they would seek to remove. I work with a lot of people on using their time efficiently, effectively, and productively. Organizing and prioritizing the things they need to do, and then working on the highest priority items first. A lot of people have difficulty being organized. So a lot of, you know, I work with people on being organized. A lot of people have clutter issues. It's really amazing how many people I've worked with that have clutter issues.
Oh, I'm glad
that's, excuse me?
I've run across that. What do you suggest people do for clutter? Just
well, I mean, that's a roadblock. Roadblocks could also be called self-sabotaging behavior. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we just don't understand why we do things that we know we don't really want to do. You know, why do we have that piece of chocolate cake? You know, why do we sleep with that guy that we know we really ought not to be sleeping with? You know, why do we do a lot of things that we know we really shouldn't do, but for some reason we end up doing it anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's self-sabotaging behavior. And, and not doing things that you want to do is self-sabotaging behavior, too. You know, not finishing something or not starting something. You know, not eating. I work with a lot of people to remove roadblocks that don't support a healthy, fit, and slender body. That's,
mm-hmm.
Weight loss and exercise are wonderful for this roadblock removal technique. It's very, very effective.
Yeah. You talk about no diet, no willpower, no struggle, no kidding. So basically you're saying it's tough, isn't it?
Well, it's tough if you've got those roadblocks that are getting in your way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about roadblock removal is that the change is so subtle, and you don't have to use any willpower at all. I have heard over and over and over again from clients of mine that they just look at that plate of cookies and say, you know, I just don't feel like it. Last week, a client of mine was telling me that after church, she and her husband and her daughter went to a Dairy Queen, and she loves Dairy Queen. And so her husband turns to her and says, okay, what would you like? And she heard coming out of her mouth, you know, I don't really feel like anything. And she really didn't. She wasn't denying herself. She wasn't saying, oh, no, you really shouldn't have. No, she just thought, you know, I really don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great thing about it. There's no struggle. You literally are drawn to the foods that you know are good to you, and you just don't have any interest in the foods that are bad for you.
Okay, that's getting your mind set.
It's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. And is that a long process to get to that stage?
No, not at all. Not at all. And it's so incredibly easy. In fact, it sounds too good to be true. It really does sound like the 21st century version of snake oil. I mean, you know, when I tell people, all you have to do is sit there and be. I do all the work. You do nothing. You just sit there and be and don't talk and no multitasking. And I go to work, and it's a sort of special process. It's too complicated to really explain.
Mm-hmm.
But and I do it over the phone.
Okay.
So you don't even have to leave your house. So all you have to do is sort of lay on your bed or hang out on your couch, and just on the phone, and in anywhere between 4 and 8 sessions, I can pretty much. I mean, in 3 sessions, I worked with a girl who'd been smoking for 14 years, and after 3 sessions, she stopped smoking.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yep.
Now, if my
some people are more highly responsive than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might take someone else 14 sessions. You know, you never know. But
mm-hmm.
it usually see results, you know, in 6 or 8. Almost
okay.
always. You'll always see something. Might not be as much as you want, but you'll always see something.
Well, that's encouraging.
For
my listeners who are interested in contacting you, how would they reach you, Sydney?
I've got www.roadblockremoval.com. I can't believe I got that URL.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? And for my business consulting, it's www.sydneybarrows.com. It's SYDNEYBARROWS.com.
Okay. Well,
and you can get to roadblock removal from there, too. There's a link.
Roadblock removal. What a great name. I love it.
Isn't that a great name?
It's fantastic. Now, we're going to break for a commercial right now, but when we come back, I would like to talk to you about how do you tame your inner bitch. And also, I'd like to have you share with our listeners some of the experiences you had appearing on The View, Oprah, and Larry King. We'll be right back with Sydney Biddle Barrows.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, are you ready to become a cash cow? Would you like to get paid while you're spending time at your computer? Let's face it, if you're on it all the time, you might as well be earning while you're learning. You may be asking now just how does SuccessMO.com work? SuccessMO.com is the new paradigm in social networking with big lessons and big rewards. Simply put, it is a change in the way people will learn, earn, work, and live right now and in the future. Its primary purpose is to let people become successful in whatever areas of their life that they desire. We have found that when rewarded with valuable merchandise and cash, people are motivated to continue their learning process. All you will need to do will be short lesson activities that can be articles, videos, audios, blogs, or forums. They take only a few minutes at your computer, and they will reap great rewards. At SuccessMO.com, you will never have to reinvent the wheel or anything else. We will provide you with success coaches who will motivate, encourage, and support you as you create your own SuccessMO story. And more than that, SuccessMO.com provides you with money. You'll have the opportunity to earn money while you're learning to be successful. The lesson activities at SuccessMO are from the world's foremost instructors. Our success coaches are experts in their field with proven and demonstrated experience. Many of them are authors, speakers, teachers, entrepreneurs, and successful businessmen and women. We strive to bring you success coaches with diverse backgrounds and life experiences. We continually grow our resource base of content providers to serve you continually for your development desires and needs. It is easier than you think to build your own network by just referring your associates, employees, friends, and family. Much to your amazement, SuccessMO.com will take on a virtual reality life and connect you to a global social networking experience. There are no geographic or physical limitations to this enterprise. So now it's time for you to become a SuccessMO subscriber, and always remember that on the Internet, innovation plus ideas will equal income. It's time for you to step up to the plate and hit that home run you've always been dreaming about. The timing is right for you to use your creativity and courage to start collecting the cash flow that is the future of social networking on the Internet. Yes, you deserve to be that cash cow right now. SuccessMO.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back. This is January Jones sharing SuccessMO stories with our guest, the Mayflower Madam, Sydney Bennell Barrows, and I'm so happy to have you with us on the show. Our call-in number is 818-431-8506. Now, Sydney, before we took the break, I asked you about how does one go about taming your inner bitch?
Well, I actually, what made me think of that was I had a client who, yeah, among other things, she actually originally got in touch with me because she'd just gotten promoted and needed to do a lot of work on the telephone. And she was extremely, extremely uncomfortable doing that. I mean, every time the phone rang, she would just, you know, her throat would close. So, we worked on that, and we solved that problem. And just sort of as we were chatting, she was talking about how aggravating and annoying her husband was. Mm-hmm. And to make a long story short, it sounded like, you know, she was every time he said or did something, you know, she got angry and she thought he was being stupid and just all these negative things. And it sounded to me like she wasn't going to have that marriage much longer if she continued to constantly be harping on him and, you know, just complaining all the time. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, I said, let's work on this and see, you know, if we can do something. And so I removed roadblocks that were causing and contributing to her, you know, feeling angry with him and, you know, being exasperated with him and sort of feeling, you know, really condescending and stuff towards him. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, she said after two sessions, she said, you know, she said, now he says something that normally I would just really go off on him for. She said, and I just think, oh, okay. And she said, and you know, it doesn't get me upset. It doesn't get me angry at all. And she said, and you know, it really makes a difference. I can, you know, and she said, I felt really badly that I was doing it in front of my children. You know, I was being disrespectful to their father, but I just like I couldn't help myself. And she said, now I just don't feel like doing that anymore. I don't respond like that anymore when he says or does something. I don't feel those same, you know, sort of angry emotions that I felt before.
I'm sure her family must be just thrilled with the work that he's done.
Now, I don't know if they know that I had anything to do with that, but, I'm sure you're right.
I'm sure they're very happy. Let's talk a little bit about all the fantastic shows that you've done. You did The View, Oprah, Larry King. What fantastic experiences for you. Did you do all of this in conjunction with your book tour?
This is my fourth book, Unscented Sales Strategies, the one that you were talking about that I did with Dan Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
I've had eight books. I mean, I'm sorry. I've had seven book tours.
Okay, seven tours. Okay.
And seven book tours. And that's why I've been on so many. See, I'm very lucky. Because I'm different, you know, and these, you know, all the morning shows and all the shows, they're always looking for someone who's different.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
I'm very lucky. I find it pretty easy to get myself booked on things just because of that.
Oh, that's fantastic. And now you're going to be...
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky.
You're going to be doing something with William Shatner August 2nd, right?
Yeah, I did The View on a Friday, and
mm-hmm.
then Saturday morning I was on a plane out to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
shot the show on with William Shatner on Sunday morning and got back on a plane and came back to New York. I have to tell you, William Shatner was the nicest guy. First of all, you would never in a million years believe that he was 80 years old. I don't know who his doctor was, but we should all get the guy's name.
That's a shock.
Excuse me?
80 years old, I can't believe it.
And if you could hear the list of things that this man does and that he's involved with, it's exhausting just to listen to it. I mean, I don't know how, you know, a 40-year-old could keep up with this guy, and he's 80. It's remarkable. But he's so nice. I mean, just so gracious and so nice and so friendly. He's a great interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a really delightful. I noticed what was interesting when I walked onto the set, and the show airs on Tuesday night, the 2nd of August, 2011, and you'll see the set. The set's interesting. It looks, you know, because of his connection to. Star Trek.
You walk in,
and the set looks space agey. You know, the style of the furniture and stuff. And I thought, well, how perfect for him, you know, because that's what everybody associates him with. but he just starts talking to you, and we spent almost 3 hours. They're going to cut it down to like 45 minutes, so it'll be interesting to see how they edit it. But it was a lovely conversation.
What was the name of the show, and what station?
It's called Aftermath with William Shatner, and apparently A&E has a channel called Bio, B-I-O, which I was totally unaware of.
Okay.
And that's, you know, if you have the Bio channel, it will be on, where's my book? What time will it be on here? Let me see.
I do have it, and I am going to TiVo it and make sure that I watch it, and I hope all of our listeners will do the same.
I think it's on at 9 p.m. Eastern, but I'm not sure. You better check because
I'll check it. And
I don't know myself.
Yeah, I'm going to TiVo it for sure, and
great.
It'll be fantastic. Now, when you looked at all the shows you've done, which was the most exciting, doing the Oprah show?
No, I would say it was Donahue. People don't remember that Donahue, before Oprah, Donahue was just almost just as big as Oprah. He was really the first one.
Oh, I used to
watch my very the, excuse me?
I used to watch him all the time. I loved him.
Oh, yeah. It was a great show. I mean, you really learned a lot. You know, he didn't do this whole scandal, you know, this whole Jerry Springer kind of show. I mean, even Oprah used to do shows like that. You know, she evolved and hasn't done them for a while. But, and so this was before people were doing those kinds of shows. And he had just really interesting, unusual people on who were just interesting, and you learn something when you watch those shows, I have to tell you. So that was the first television show I ever did, he just happened to be in L.A. Normally, he shot out of New York, and so they flew me out there, and what they did is, and I've never seen them do this with any other show, it was like in the round. So the stage that I was on was in the middle, and it was round, and there were people seated all around, and then every time there was a commercial break, they'd turn the chair a quarter turn. So you always had people in back of you. So if that kind of thing made you nervous, you were in big trouble. But that was it. So, and every single time, every time I ever had a book tour, whether it was for the hardcover or the paperback of the, my first three books, he always had me on, and almost every single time I was the only guest. Larry King had me on every time I came through Washington, and then had me back many other times when, you know, things were in the news that that only someone like, you know, myself would know enough to be able to comment on it.
Right.
And yeah, it was interesting.
Now, I'm in the middle of reading Uncensored Sales Strategies, and it is one of the most fantastic books that I've ever read. And you worked
I didn't
Dan,
pay her to say this, folks.
you worked with Dan Kennedy. Could you tell us a little bit about that experience and how this fantastic book evolved?
Well, let me start out by saying that I worship the water Dan Kennedy walks on. I mean, when I first was invited to speak at a Glaser Kennedy super conference, I had never heard of Dan Kennedy. I had no idea who the man was. I had no idea what Glaser Kennedy Insider Circle was. They called me up and asked me if I wanted to come speak at this thing, and I said sure. And I mean, I was so bad January, I didn't even bother to Google them to find out who the heck they were. I didn't. So there, you know, so I gave my presentation, and then afterwards, I was invited to this, you know, sort of little reception for the more higher, you know, for the higher level members. And all of a sudden, walks towards me this very tall man with bad glasses and sort of weird facial hair, very tall, cowboy boots and everything. And it turns out that it was Dan. and he said, you know, it was a great speech. That you know, would you like to do something together?
Oh,
well,
fantastic.
I can't. You know, people ask me that all the time. I mean, January, I throw more shit against the wall than everyone we both know put together, and you know, so little of it ever really sticks.
Right.
So I say yes to everything as long as it's not going to cost me anything. You know, what do I have to lose? So I said sure. You know, and you know, a week or two later, this nice fat check comes in the mail. And says, you know, this is just sort of a down payment for, you know, for our working together and da-da-da. I'm thinking, whoa, this guy, you know, he's serious. Yeah, and then he came into New York City and we recorded XXX rated sales strategies. It's a 4-CD set, one of which is actually a recreation of the training program that I used to do for all the call girls. And it was a recreation of that. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That takes them an entire CD, and there's a transcript, and you can find it on my website. Just XXX rated sales strategies.
Well, let's give you a website one more time.
Sure, it's www.sydneybarrows.com.
Okay.
And if you spell it incorrectly, I bought that URL too, which is something that everybody should do. If you're someone who people spell your name wrong all the time, you've got to get the other one and then just direct it to the right one.
Well, I don't have that problem with January Jones, but I'm sure other people do. You know, this has been fabulous, and I really want to have you back on the show because I could talk to you forever. And especially once I finish reading this book, I'll have a million more questions. So promise me you will come back again.
Absolutely, it'd be my pleasure.
Okay, thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
I'd like to tell our guests to tune in next week when my guest will be Sally Shields, the author of Is She Naturally Thin or Disciplined? And also Dr. Simon Casey, a success coach with Successimo, and he is a certified alcohol and drug abuse counselor. I'm looking forward to interviewing both of them. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday live or catch any of our interviews with constant streaming at Blog Talk Radio. If you've enjoyed the show, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener. Now, if you're interested in finding more out about successimo.com, just go to our website. So for now, stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing Successimo with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. This is January Jones reminding you to take care and stay safe. And thank you so much, Sydney.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones sharing Successimo stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you think it, you can do it. That's what all of our success coaches have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own Successimo story with your family and friends. We hope that our stories will encourage you to explore an equation in the future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others, and that will equate to creating cash for your future. Your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you learn while you earn with us and January Jones, sharing Successimo stories.